Here we go.
Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Please silence your cell phones or any other audible devices so as not to disrupt the rest of this meeting. And if you'd stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next up is item number 3, discussion of possible action, approval of the agenda for October the 29th, 2018. Some public comment regarding today's agenda. Hearing none, I get a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda for October 29th, 2018.
Second.
Moved and second to approve the agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, next up we have is item number 4, discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. Here's a committee and staff reports. See here. Limited staff in today's meeting from the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Vicki Hill. From our planning department, Kathy.
Kathy Hill.
Nothing today. Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
County Manager, Mr. Whitten.
Just a brief reminder for mostly the public. I sent the three commissioners and all the elected officials and department heads an email this morning kind of recapping the meeting changes. So our November meeting will be held on Friday, November 9th at 10 a.m. That is so we can canvass the vote, because otherwise it would have been held on the 6th when everybody's voting. Then we do have, depending on today's actions taken by the commission, on November 19th, that's a Monday, we have a special meeting scheduled, and very important, we had to schedule that one at 9 o'clock rather than 10 o'clock due to some flight schedules. So November 19th at 9, and then we anticipate our regular meeting, our one regular meeting on December 4th at 10 o'clock. And then also just a reminder for everybody that the Nevada Association of Counties has their annual conference down in Minden-Gardnerville on the 13th through 15th. So I've notified both commission candidates and asked them to hold on to the dates, and we have room reserved down there for, I think, the night of the banquet for whoever was elected.
Okay. Very good. Question?
Is that November 19th?
November 19th is a special meeting.
When was it?
Nego?
Yeah, you said the
9th? Okay, we have a meeting on November 9th to canvass the vote at 10 o'clock, and then on November 19th, depending on action that you may take today, but we anticipate a meeting on November 19th at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Then December 4th.
And December 4th, regular time,
okay.
Regular meeting.
And then you mentioned the conference.
NACO conference, November 13th through 15th.
You didn't say which month it was.
Excuse me.
After the December 4th, you went right to the...
Okay. That's it.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And the December 4th meeting might be our only meeting in December.
That's what we anticipate.
Yeah. Right.
And I should add, we also have a Christmas party, I think, on December 7th.
Right.
Yeah.
All righty. Thanks, Pat. County Clerk's Office. Ms. Stevens.
Good morning. I just wanted to remind everybody that early voting is still going on through this week. We're 8 to 6, Monday through Friday, down in the Slammer. And we're at about 25% turnout so far. So it's been busy, which is great. And then the election will be on November 6th. Polls will be open from 7 to 7.
Great.
That's it.
Vanessa?
Very good.
That concludes our committee and staff reports. Next up is item number 5. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. Mr. Gilman?
Nothing today. Thank you, sir.
All righty. Vice Chairman McGuffey?
Nope. Nothing today.
The other thing I had is that those of us that attended the Nevada Day Parade in Carson City on Saturday, it was a great day for a parade. Weather was perfect. Huge attendance because the weather was great. And, of course, parade longer than ever since it is a political year. And just about every politician in northern Nevada was in the parade. But it was a lot of fun for everybody who attended. Moving along now to item number 6. This is a discussion of possible action. This is on Resolution 18-516. It's directing the county engineer to prepare preliminary plans, cost estimates, and relates items to reimburse the cost of an undertaking for a tax increment area formed pursuant to Nevada by Statutes Chapter 278C.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to recuse myself from discussion or voting on Item 6 or Item 7 as I hold a pecuniary interest in the property that is the subject matter of these two agenda items.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Kendra?
Good morning, everybody. Kendra Follett from Sherman & Howard, bond counsel to the county. So this resolution, as the chairman read, directs the county engineer to prepare preliminary plans, cost estimates, and related items for the cost of an undertaking. The undertaking in this case is a water project, which is a natural resources project under the statute. For this particular resolution, going forward, the undertaking will include payments under contracts with owners to reimburse the owners for costs incurred by the owners in connection with the undertaking, and also advances by the county for administrative costs associated with administering the tax increment area. This is the first step in creating a tax increment area for the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center.
Great. Thanks, Senator.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, we had an accelerated agenda posting last week due to the Nevada Day holiday, and we put a place marker for Item 6 as well as Item 7 that indicated that there may have been additional updates to core documents. There were none, so the agenda as posted had the correct copies in there, and there are no updates.
Very good. Okay. So at this point, we'll go ahead and we'll open up for public comment. Any public comment regarding this item? Hear any? I think at this point, we should make it perfectly clear that all the costs that are incurred on putting this together should make it all the way to the finish line. So they're going to be incurred by the participants and not by the county.
That is correct. We asked and received an increase in the deposit. This length of time has cost additional expenses to the county, and also this length of time and number of changes has caused our comptroller and myself to go ahead and request that the county receive reimbursement for Hugh's hourly rate, my hourly rate, and Mr. Loomis's hourly rate as well. So we're paid in full right now, and through Marty's office, we're watching those numbers carefully because some of the people in this room, maybe some attorneys, are a little expensive. Just kidding.
All right, very good. Okay, once again, before I call for a motion, I'll go ahead and ask if there's any public comment regarding this item. Hearing none. Commissioner McGuffey, if I can get a motion from the room.
Hi, Commissioner Jack McGuffey. Move to approve Resolution 18-516. Approving the economic development financing proposal for the affluent pipeline for certain properties in the Tahoe Regional Industrial Center, directing the clerk of the county to notify the governor's office of economic development and the interim finance committee of the Nevada legislature of the county's approval and providing other details in connection therewith.
Okay, great. Mr. Loomis, does the resolution have to be read into the record as well?
I'd defer to Kendra on that.
So,
we usually read the header.
Okay, I'll read the title. A resolution provisionally ordering an undertaking for a tax increment area form pursuant to Nevada Revised Statutes, Chapter 278C, setting a time and place for a hearing on the undertaking and providing other matters related thereto.
Okay, very good. I have a motion. I'll second your motion. It's been moved and second to approve.
We're looking at resolution 18-516.
Oh, 516.
Yes.
I'm sorry, 18516, I apologize. A resolution directing the county's engineer to prepare preliminary plans, cost estimates, and related items to reimburse the cost of an undertaking for a tax increment area formed pursuant to Nevada Revised Statutes, Chapter 278C.
Okay, good. Thank you for proofreading that. All right, very good. Now we're all squared away. We have a motion. I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve resolution, the first reading of Resolution 18-516. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right, moving along now to item number 7. This is discussion on possible action.
Mr. Chairman, just for clarification, that doesn't require a second reading. This is the approval.
This is a resolution.
Okay, it's not an ordinance, it's a resolution.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Item number 7, discussion of possible action. This is on a resolution 18-517, provisionally ordering the undertaking of a tax increment area formed pursuant to Nevada Revised Statutes, Chapter 278C, setting the time, place for hearing and the undertaking of providing other matters related thereto.
Okay, now I'm on the one that I read previously. Kendra Follett from Sherman and Howard, bond counsel to the county. This resolution is making a provisional order with respect to this undertaking for this tax increment area. This calls a public hearing on November 19th. By statute, the notice of the public hearing must be published 3 times, mailed to property owners, and posted. And we have arrangements for all of the publication, mailing, and posting to occur in accordance with the statute prior to the November 19th date. I'm happy to answer any questions. With respect to previous actions on related to prior structures, both of these resolutions provide that all actions previously taken in conflict with these current actions are repealed to the extent of the inconsistencies. So there's no need to address prior actions. These stand on their own, and this creates a new tax increment area on the basis that I described before on reimbursement and advances by the county for administrative costs.
Okay.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, as with item 6, for this item, we put the same notice that specific terms were still being considered, discussed, negotiated. Nothing has changed since they were originally posted, so the documents that have always been on the website and in your packet are still the accurate documents.
Okay. Very good. So at this point, we'll go ahead and we'll open it up for public comment on this item as well. Ms. Bard, do you have your hand up?
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. In scanning the documents online, I noticed that there were a couple of companies that were missing from the resolution for the TIA that were in it last time that aren't in it this time. Blockchains is missing, Switch is missing.
And the other one?
Those are the two. Switch and blockchains seem to be missing from this TIA document where they were in the original TIA document.
Blockchains did withdraw participation in the tax increment area, so I can confirm that. If Switch is missing.
Switch holds title under Supermap Reno and Tahoe Reno Industrial Center LLC.
Okay, that's what I didn't see.
So right. Switch is still in, but blockchains
is
not.
They don't hold title in that.
In that name. Okay, so the difference in the documents, now that it's missing blockchains, isn't a change in the documents since the last time?
No. Well, when I reference the accuracy and the currency of the document, I meant to reflect on what was posted on the website, not what was previously acted upon.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, once again, we'll go ahead and ask if there's any public comment on this item. Hearing none, point. Do you want to read the title?
The title? Sure. A resolution, resolution number 18-517, a resolution provisionally ordering an undertaking for a tax increment area formed pursuant to Nevada Revised Statutes, Chapter 278C, setting a time and place for a hearing on the undertaking and providing other matters related thereto.
Very good. Thank you, Kendra. Commissioner McGuffey, can I get a motion to approve?
Sure. I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, move to approve Resolution 18-517, provisionally ordering an undertaking for a tax increment area formed pursuant to Nevada Revised Statutes Chapter 278C, setting a time and place for a hearing on the undertaking and providing other matters related thereto.
All right. I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve Resolution 18-517. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. This time we'll welcome Commissioner Gilman back to the board. And item number 8 is discussion of possible action. It's on Bill 107, the first reading of Ordinance 18-284, an ordinance revising Chapter 17.84 of the Story County Code addressing signs and billboards and amending the provisions of Title 17 zoning of the Story County Code relating to signs, billboards, and other matters probably related thereto.
Good morning.
This
is Kathy Canfield for the record. This proposed revision to the sign ordinance is an overhaul of the overall ordinance. With the proposed amendments, what we were trying to do was create a greater flexibility for signs for property owners and make it the actual sign ordinance easier to understand. So we started this. We had actually two discussion workshops with the Planning Commission where we went over how the existing sign ordinance, what it talked about. We had photographs of a bunch of different signs from around the area and then discussed things that we think that worked, things that we didn't think that didn't work. And then based on those discussions, we came back and started amending the code language. What we discovered is the majority of the signs are located in the Virginia City and the Gold Hill area. Lockwood does have some. Mark Twain has very minimal. And this ordinance itself doesn't apply to the Tri-Center. They have their own. They follow the 1999 code and their sign standards. So when we were looking at this, the majority of this was looking at the Virginia City area and Gold Hill. What the outcome, for the most part, was the signs that really stood out were the ones that didn't follow the historic district standards. So the things that were plastic, the things, the neon, the whiteboards, those were the things that most people, when we were looking at all the photographs, really popped out as really not working well. So we've identified those things, and those are not permissible again in the new code. We've also made some changes to 17.10, which are the definitions. We've modified a couple of definitions and added one. We went through the zoning chapters, the zoning district chapters, and just made a general reference to, you know, all signs shall conform to Chapter 17.84, which is the sign ordinance. I do have one change to make in the documents, where just keeping the language consistent, that every time I look through this, I swear I find something that I've missed. So I do have one change with that. But the Planning Commission reviewed this at their October 18th meeting. We've had several discussions of this along the way, all through the summer. But at the 18th meeting, they voted 6-0 to recommend approval of the document. We had one commissioner missing. They also, at that meeting, identified a couple minor changes, and those have been incorporated into your copy of what's here. So if there's any questions, I can answer, and then I can go over what the changes.
I think I'd like you to highlight the major changes in the ordinance.
What we've done here is broken the signs down by zoning district. So it begins on page 46 of your handout, and it's identifying like what signs are allowed for the CR and C zoning district, and then it talks about how much area you get. So in the C and CR, it's based on your building frontage, and you get 3 square feet for each 1 linear feet of building frontage. And so if you had, say, a 50-foot linear front building frontage, you would get 150 square feet of signage to put on that frontage. And you can divvy it up however you want. We're not really regulating any longer how many signs you can have or how you want to choose to make that work for your business. The hanging signs that are along the boardwalk, they can go from the building frontage to the edge of the porch as long as they're 7 feet high. You can make that small, big, it can be round. You know, previously it was required to be rectangle. As we were looking at the signs, everybody liked how they were different, and it's not a real cookie cutter kind of situation. So that was one. And the biggest thing is just that they're above 7 feet, so they're not impeding any traffic. People aren't hitting their heads, not walking into those, so for safety issues. So we divvied those up into each of the zoning districts. Residential has a certain amount. If you're a residential property and you have, say, a home business or you have one assigned, you're limited to 6 square feet. We're trying to make it very simple and straightforward so everybody can understand what they can do. The other item that was discussed quite a bit at the Planning Commission were all the election signs. And we were going through this trying to make it very clear on what things are regulated and which things aren't regulated. So we went through the court cases to make sure our code is matching what the current cases are. We're regulating time, place, and manner, not content. And so we've tried to make sure everything we've got here is not relating to any content whatsoever. So what we have done is suggested for the election signs in residential areas, they can only be 6 square feet. In the E40 would be the only one that can go up to 32 square feet, but you can have as many of them as you'd like. So you can support as many candidates or as many issues, but just a maximum of 6 square feet. Let's see some of the others. We also designated, right now, the sign code has both areas of, at the ends of C Street as free speech areas, is what we were calling them. We've expanded that to try to cover a place that's county-owned that's also in each of the communities. So we have identified an area that's in the Lockwood area that's across from the senior center. We've added one in Mark Twain. We didn't have one in Tri. And then in the Highlands area, the county doesn't own too much that's over there, but we did find one area in Lousetown that we could designate as a as an area for that.
I have a couple more questions,
sure.
Kathy, regarding, for example, the I'm assuming that the neon is still prohibited.
Yes, or neon-like signs.
Yeah.
They can be the interior buildings, but we've put into here that they're located 6 feet away from the window so that it's not visible the outside of the window.
It should not be visible to the
right.
Outside. One of the concerns I have, because this would probably affect me directly, being in business here, is that I've got some old buildings with old signs. The square footage probably goes ahead and exceeds, the signs probably exceeds what is under current ordinance. Is there any type of grandfather clause in this ordinance? Are these signs going to have to be taken down or somehow be brought into compliance?
Let's see. The top of page 38 talks about that. So signs that were existing prior to 1999, so that's when the zoning ordinance or previous zoning ordinance came into effect. Those are considered grandfathered in. So those ones are okay to stay unless there's somebody that wants to come in and make some changes, not to the content but to the actual configuration of the sign. So if it's Joe's store to begin with and they change it to Sam's store, that's not going to, painting over it's not going to trigger that. But if they wanted to take that down and maybe it's Sam's fish store and make it look like a fish or something, that triggers that the new sign would need to conform. We also have in here If a sign has been identified by the historic district as having historical significance, the provision for removing or retrofitting the sign may be administratively waived by the director of planning. So that if there's any signs that are out there that the historic district has gone through and looked at it and can come up with their rationale for why that's important, we don't want to lose those.
Okay, does change of ownership in a building or a business, does that affect your
No, opinion? And that's actually the C, existing signs conforming to the sign ordinance may remain whether or not the business associated with the sign maintains operations at the site. And that's something different. The existing sign ordinance says that those signs need to come down. But an example would be that Mark Twain bookstore that's painted on the side of the building. That's no longer in business, but under this ordinance, that would be okay to stay. They wouldn't have to come out and paint it off or try to get rid of it in some manner. Those can stay.
I think I've only got two more questions. One of the questions might be, I know at the south end of C Street, there's some old signs there that haven't been painted over, and they're pretty much they're unreadable now, and they're for a business that's no longer in business on C Street. Is there provision there to go ahead and make the property owner come into compliance to either have the sign painted to something current or have it removed or something like that?
Yeah, all signs need to be maintained in good condition. So if we have something that's falling apart, the person either needs to fix it or it does need to come down or find somebody new that might want to utilize
my
it.
My last question might be, let me finish this, Jack, and then I'll come to you. In Gold Hill, we've got a business that's been out of business for years there, but there's a sign that's erected down there that you couldn't paint it over because it's of a metal structure.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's going to be the...
Well, if it's the sign I'm thinking about, that might have some historical significance. So if it's an example of that, that it could fall under that. Right now, if that was existing prior to 1999, it's something that it can stay. As long as it's not in danger of falling over or public safety hazard.
Even though it's not attached to any business at all?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Jack?
Yeah, I was wondering if it was per the previous response you had on the signs, that have been somewhat abandoned by the property owner. They need to be repaired, replaced, or taken down.
Mm-hmm.
So does that fall under the nuisance officer, or who's going to enforce?
It's probably something that planning would work in conjunction with the community development department. Joe Starnes is typically the one.
So, I mean, is there anything documented as the steps to follow to make contact, you know, step one, make contact.
No, we haven't gotten that far, but that's something that definitely we would figure out what our process is going to be. But I envision it being something, you know, if we get a complaint, we would look at it, figure out kind of what it falls under, if it's something just talking to the person. If we need to get the nuisance officer involved, we would then utilize those skills and move forward.
Okay. Any other questions? Lance, do you have any questions?
No.
So okay. The one change, maybe I can point out, the one change is on, or actually a couple, is it starts on page 47, the number 8 under the CR and the C, and this is the same actual statement in each one. It says, if a permitted principal use has not been established on the parcel, a special use permit is required for any sign or signs proposed, with the exception of real estate for sale signs and political election signs. We want to take out the word political election, and we would add signs associated with the election process. And that's just making all of our verbiage the same. Mm-hmm. And that's the same condition 8 on number C. It's condition 3 on number B and condition 3 on number D. So it's the same condition. We just want to make all that verbiage correct.
Okay. Lance, do you have any questions? Okay. We open up for public comment. Hearing none? Okay. So then before calling for a motion on this, I'll go ahead and disclose that by voting on this, I have an interest in the business district with numerous business signs, and my voting on this isn't going to go ahead and make any difference one way or the other, depending on future, current or future property owners with their signage, because I have to abide by the same rules as well, and I think, Lance, you have to make the same disclosure.
I would make the same disclosure that you've just made, Marshall. I also own a business on C Street, and my signs will be in compliance with all others on the street.
Are you good with that?
I'm good with that.
Okay. All right. With that said, I'll go ahead and open up for a motion to approve.
In accordance with a recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission,
this is the first reading on the ordinance. You have to read the title on it.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy, do you have the title?
Discussion and possible action on Bill 107, the first reading of Ordinance 18-284, an ordinance revising Chapter 17.84 of the Story County Code, addressing signs and billboards and amending other provisions of Title 17 Zoning Code of the Story County Code relating to signs and billboards and providing for other matters properly relating thereto.
Thank you, Kathy. Okay, go ahead with your motion.
Okay. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, motion to approve the first reading of Bill 107, Ordinance Number 18-284, and Ordinance Revising Chapter 17.84 of the Story County Code addressing signs and billboards and amending other provisions of Title 17 Zoning Code of the Story County Code relating to signs and billboards, and providing for other matters properly relating thereto.
All right.
Second motion.
We have a motion and a second before we vote on it. It needs to be pointed out that Kathy's put an enormous amount of time into this, and we congratulate you. I know doing major overhauls on these ordinances is very difficult and time-consuming, so I want you to know that. We appreciate all your effort and all your work you put in.
All right. Thank you. And I wanted to point out is in your travels, if you have anybody that does have questions with the sign, I'm happy to meet people at their property and kind of go over and do measurements with them and help them with this.
Sure.
So I think it's pretty straightforward, but it can, if you're not familiar with how to read codes, it can be intimidating. So.
Absolutely.
This has been on the Planning Commission agenda for a year, a couple of years, I know.
I think at least a year. So.
Yeah. All right.
Let's go on the back burner for several.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the first reading of Ordinance 18-284. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item 10. We have public comment. We have public comment today. Hearing none, we call this meeting adjourned.
Yeah.